Carol, and I was just thinking that I'm old enough to remember that when it came out for the first Christmas. Don't know what year it was, but it was quite a few years ago. But I sing in a male voice choir in the Cheltenham male voice choir, and in the male voice movement, there's a lady named Valerie Collison, and she's written a lot of lovely pieces that we enjoy singing. And after all those years, I've just realised she wrote that one. So it's I've learned something today. It's, anyway, I as I say, I sing with the Cheltenham male voice, and we've been we haven't sung very much for, obviously, through the pandemic. We couldn't get together, we weren't allowed to sing, nobody wanted us, and it was a very sad time, really. But we've managed to get back together. Actually, one of our older members died about 18 months, maybe 2 years ago, and he died of COVID, and his niece wanted him to have a good send-off, as she put it to me. And so we eventually managed to, she did us a real favour, we got together to so we could sing at Canberra Baptist Church in Cheltenham, where he went, and to sing for his Thanksgiving service. And so since then we've managed to get together, and we've managed to do go around some of the care homes this year and sing for the residents. So it's been a real joy. And as part of the preparation for Christmas and singing, is we also give a short epilogue when we go out to sing. And I'm one of the ones who asked to speak time to time. And so when I was thinking at the start of, this was in mid-November probably, I was thinking about this Christmas and what I should base my thoughts upon. And the thought that came very strongly to me this year was gifts. Now, Christmas is all about gifts, isn't it? And other things as well, obviously, but very much we think of gifts. And so I was also reminded of the fact that we do 8 lessons, and I was listening to the radio this morning, and they were giving the church notices out, and one of the churches in Cheltenham tonight, at the same time as us, they are doing a 9 lesson and carols. So there we are. And the reading that's missing fits in with my thoughts. I'm not going to read it right through because it's 14 verses, but I'm just going to read 4 verses from the top. And it's the first, it's John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, and it's headed, "The Word Became Flesh." And it says, "In the beginning was the Word," that was the Lord Jesus Christ, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." But my few thoughts are centered really around the most famous verse in the Bible. Who's going to tell me what that is? John 3:16. Thank you, Tom. Yeah, John 3:16. Now, I'm what was known as a Gideon. We got a new name now, but you know, we get these little red testaments out around the schools, and on page 21 of this testament, it says in the front, because there's 50 pages of helps for the students to help them to come to terms with the Bible. And it says at the bottom of the page, "The best known verse in the Bible. There is a verse in the Bible that has been translated into more than 2,300 languages and dialects. It tells of a God who loves us with everlasting love. The verse is John 3:16 and can be found on page 245. And it quotes it, it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And I suppose, seeing these young fellows reading this morning, this evening, it takes me back, having been brought up in a Christian family, and like they have, and, you know, as a young lad, it was not unusual for me to be asked to read a few verses around Christmas time, and so on. And of course, going to Sunday school, you were taught to learn verses, and they still do it. We got Steve Hutchinson comes here, and he's got a novel way of teaching the children how to learn a verse. And of course, I suppose for most of us, John 3:16 was indeed, or is indeed, the first verse that we learned off by heart. And it's stayed with me ever since. So I put a few things together here, just a few thoughts. And the first thing that comes out to me is that it's about a gift. Everybody likes receive a gift, don't they? Is anyone doesn't like to get a gift? No, I didn't. Well, it depends what it is, but I'm not thinking of anything that's nasty, Neil, at all. A gift. And I went into our local shop the other day and spent a few bob, and I've got here for the children, there's a little gift in the box. So when you come out at the end, I'll put it on there, and you can help yourself to one. There's just enough to go around. Might be one or two over for a greedy adult, I don't know, but there we are. We'll see. And then, what do we have to do when somebody offers us a gift?
Oh.
Yeah?
You say thank you.
Very good, yes, you say thank you, but you've got to accept it, haven't you? So you take it from them and you say thank you. And you know, there's nothing worse than giving somebody a gift and they don't say thank you. And it's the sort of thing that you think, well, I won't give that person a gift again, isn't it, you know, if they don't say thank you. So he'd been well brought up, that little fellow, hasn't he? And can we pay for a gift? No. Why not? Might be an expensive one. I was going to bring a bottle of my wife's perfume, an empty one. And you know, she doesn't like cheap perfume. She likes the best, Chanel number 5. And there's another one that she, I think it's called J'adore. And it's a beautiful bottle. And I've got an empty bottle on my desk that, because being a designer, I like good design, and it's there. And I was going to bring it along, but you know, it might be a very expensive gift, or it might be like one of these Freddo frogs or whatever they're called that I've got for you. So if we go to pay for it, then it's no longer a gift, is it? So God has given us a gift. And he's got this. So very quickly, I want to just look at that verse. I've broken it down into four parts. So it's all about God. And the first thing that I notice is that God is the greatest giver. And how do we know this? Well, God provided his one and only Son to be our Savior. We've just read that. And we know he was his Son because, as I say, in John 1 and verse 1 to 4, it tells us that. Yet, Jesus is indeed God in a body. When he came to this scene of time, he was God in a body. And he was a baby born in Bethlehem, something like 2,000 or more years ago now. So why did God send him? And why did Jesus agree to come willingly? I was reading, I've been out to sing this afternoon, and I didn't know what the roads were going to be like, so I went out in plenty of time, and I got there about half an hour before I was supposed to. So I sat in my car, and I got a little Christian booklet that's based around Christmas readings, and I sat and read three or four of these readings. And the man who's written it is one of my favourite authors, actually. He's an American evangelist. And he put a thought into my mind that I perhaps hadn't thought about too as much as he had, in the sense that, if you think about it, where did the Lord Jesus Christ come from? He lived in the splendour of his Father's home in heaven. And yet he came down to this world. My goodness me, if he came down now, he'd wonder what hit him, wouldn't he? The way things are in this world with the wars and what's going on. And the thought was that he came down to be our Saviour. He wasn't. He was sent by his Father. Yes, the Bible tells us that. But he came willingly. And he came because he loved you and I so much. So he came to save us from our sins and give us eternal life. John tells us very much that. And there's a verse that Paul wrote in the Galatian epistle, and it says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son to redeem us, to buy us back." Yes, God created us. But we'd gone our own way, hadn't we? So God so loved the world that he gave. And he loves you, he loves me, he loves everybody. And that is the message of Christmas. And I hope that you will have a lovely Christmas this year, but I hope that you will remember that when you're opening your gifts, when you're enjoying the turkey or whatever you have on Christmas Day, and so on. So he sent Jesus to save us from our sins, so that we could spend eternity with him. And that's a wonderful thought. You know, we're living awful days, aren't we? When we see what's going on around us, we think of the Ukraine and what those poor people are going through there. And we reminded about the what some people are having to live in, you know, having to go to the library to get warm because they can't afford the heat in their home. I never imagined that I would ever live in days like this in England. But there we are, that's the way it is. So God has given us this gift. And like we were reminded by the children, that all we have to do for a gift is to accept it. And that's what it's all about. So it's the greatest gift. He sends his one and only Son. And as I was thinking, I was just fleshing this out to share with you this morning, and I was reminded of Abraham back in the book of Genesis. And remember from your Sunday school days maybe that Abraham was a great man of faith, and God said to him, because he was about 80, he was round about, you see, when his only son. After that, God tested him. And he said to Abraham, I want you to go to Mount Moriah, and I want you to take Isaac with you. And they went with some of his servants, and they came to a point, and then Abraham said, right, Isaac and I are going on further. And he had all the things with him, but he didn't have any fire with him to sacrifice his son. And that's what God was testing him about. And so they went on, and they went up to the top. They built an altar, and there was nothing around that they could see. And yet this young man, who could overpower his father in his 80s, he came and he said to his father, "Father," he said, "we've got everything that we need for a sacrifice, but where's the lamb?" And Abraham said, "God will provide himself." And he took his son and he laid him on the altar, and he had a knife in his hand, and he was about to plunge it into his son's heart, and God said, "Stop. Now I know that you've got great faith in me, and that you love me as I hoped you would." And so it was that Isaac came off the altar, and there in the thicket, as it says, there was a ram. It was caught, and they took it out, and they killed it, and they sacrificed that. And he said, "God will provide himself a lamb." And that was reminding us that the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who was going to come for that. And you see, he did. He provided the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down as the babe. He came and he was born in the virgin womb. And indeed, at the end of his life, after 33 years, they took him and they nailed him to a cross. And he was laid in a virgin tomb as well. And all that was for you and I. Well, it's the greatest gift. It's the greatest greeting. Whoever believes in him, it says, that's you and me. And so for a gift to be effective, as we already said, there needs to be a receiver. And Jesus informed Nicodemus earlier on in chapter 3 that he had to be born again. And Nicodemus couldn't understand it. And, you know, we don't stand in any judgment on him, because how could he be born again? And he couldn't understand it. And I'm not going to go into details of that. I have to come again sometime, maybe. But the point was that the Lord Jesus was saying, you need to be, just like the wind blows around, the Holy Spirit is indeed the one that comes into our lives and it purges our sins, and we can become have salvation that he wants to. I was thinking, do you have a second birthday? I have. My second birthday, I was born in January, and my second birthday is 7th of September, and that took place 1951. I was a boy of 10. Now you know my age, don't you? So I was a boy of 10 when I realized that the Lord Jesus Christ had died for me. He'd come for me, and he died for me. So it is that I've lived all these years with the Lord Jesus in my life, and it's been great. I wouldn't have changed it for anything. And so we have the greatest guarantee. We were told that it shall not perish, but have eternal life. And eternal life is something that we can't really fully understand, because eternal or everlasting goes on and on forever. And we are people who are governed by time. But you know, we have, the Bible tells us that when we become Christians, we have faith. And that faith takes us, enables us to live and to face the future, knowing that our lives are in God's hands. I was at the funeral service on Wednesday of one of my choir colleagues, 92 years of age, just gone to be with the Lord. And it was said about him by the minister in the church that Ken knew that where he was going, because he'd been a Christian for so many years. And he, right up to literally about 3 weeks before he died, he was singing in a choir with us. And so it is. It's a wonderful thing to have this faith, and know that you've got eternal life. And finally, then of course we've got the greatest guarantee, as I say, and which is eternal life. And you see, we can be in John 1 and verse 12, and I'll just read this verse just before I finish. It goes on to say that the Lord Jesus, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. I wonder, as you are enjoying the singing these carols and listening to quotations from the Bible, I wonder, do you appreciate what that is? So, what a Christmas it would be if we asked the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives, if we've never done that before. We're going to conclude our service now by singing In the Bleak Midwinter. And I want you to take particular note of verse 4. It's a wonderful verse. I think it's probably my favourite carol, particularly for the last verse. And he asks the question, what can I give him? And it concludes by saying, I can give him my heart. And if you don't remember much of what I've said in closing, I hope that you would remember that. So let's sing that beautiful carol together, and we'll